evening, lovely people. This is Saylet.
This is Kalina.
And welcome to Shh, We're Reading Dirty Books. I am recovering from a cold. I don't know if you guys can tell. So please while I'm clearing my throat and coughing in the background, so I apologize for that. It's going to happen more than I normally do because I know I clear my throat all the time. But so much
But
more.
This will be extreme.
Yeah.
Extreme throat killing.
And I've got a cough drop in my mouth.
Yeah. You're going to hear that. Sorry, all those people with AMSR or whatever that acronym is for people who hate mouth sounds. This might not be a good podcast for you today. Because also, I'm drinking beer instead of wine, which is normally my drink of choice for podcast nights. So I'm going to be a little bit belchy, probably, because beer's a little bit harder to drink, I think, for these things than wine is. So welcome to an annoying podcast full of mouth sounds and throat sounds.
Which I think it's appropriate for our next book anyway, because there were some annoying things that we found within just the actual recording of the book.
With that kind of high-quality recording that they gave us for this audio.
Yeah, so, but before we talk about that, we just want to let you guys know that we had our a Halloween party.
Last weekend was Halloween. My house. We're recording that right after Halloween. So
I think that's where my sickness is coming from. I'm blaming it on that. I was getting a little bit scratchy before then. My throat was scratchy before then.
Yeah.
So I don't think that the cigarettes and the alcohol helped.
No, generally, being outside in the cold while drinking for hours probably doesn't make one healthier.
I wasn't cold, though, because I was in a full-body onesie suit, and I was supposed to be a black unicorn, but instead, people were dubbing me as a penguin with a dick on my head, which I think is appropriate.
She looked like a penguin with a dick on her head. She was, like, black on the outside with this big white belly and then just a giant penis on her forehead.
It's so much cuter on the girl on the Amazon picture, but
those Amazon pictures are deceiving. Everything looks better on them. They're models.
But I was exactly. But I was warm.
That's good.
That and the one drink that I had made me very warm and then very sick.
Yes, very sick. You had more than one. I saw you have two.
No, I didn't finish that second one. I had like an inch of that second one.
Yes, I agree.
That was...
You still.
Yes. I tried. I tried to hang with the big boys. Couldn't do it.
Hey, your husband, who is the king of the big boys, didn't fucking hang.
I know.
He was first to bed.
And we usually do give a special surprise to the one who falls asleep.
Normally
first.
It's Jeremy, and we beat the like draw on his face, mock the hell out of him. He gets a lot of abuse when he passes out at parties.
Yeah,
nope, not this time.
He got a pass for sure. And
Dan was out first.
That was insane. Yeah, that was fun. Kalina was a cute mermaid.
I was.
Sparkly
mermaid. I showed up way late because I had to work that evening, so I didn't get there till 10. So I didn't have as much fun, I think, as everyone. But I had a much more pace.
I did promise to wait for you, and I didn't, so I apologize for that.
That's okay. You had your fun. It was good.
Yeah.
It was a good evening, and no one died, so that's always a plus.
Definitely. Cool.
So, what book are we... I don't even know. I literally don't know. Just finished it and I don't know.
We read Dark Lover by J.R. Ward, and it was narrated by Jim Frazione, but we wanted to...
Oh, yeah. I have a correction, guys.
Yes.
Total fuck up last week on my part. So I think at some point, like at the end of last week's recording, when I was introducing our next book, I said that it was time that we get to J.R. Ward because that's the pseudonym from Nora Roberts, who's a big romance novelist. Uh-huh. Wrong. Her pseudonym is J.D. Robb. And I conflated the two in my brain because they are initial, tiny name.
Yes.
So, J.D. Ward has nothing to do with Nora Roberts. And this is a whole different person, and her own author, J.R. Ward. That's who we read.
Mm-hmm.
J.D. Robb is the alternative name, pen name of Nora Roberts. She writes her standard romance novels as Nora Roberts, and then she writes some kind of, I'm not exactly sure what the J.D. Robb books are, but I don't think they're paranormal romances. They're something else. They're a different genre.
Okay.
I shouldn't say shit that I haven't researched. I just speak shit, and then I get it wrong, but you guys can correct me, I'm sure.
Well, that's what we're
I'm going to get emails telling me that J.R. Ward is not J.D. Robb, and I'll be like, yeah, I already know by now. Because I literally, as soon as I started reading this, I was like, this is not right. I didn't. I had said that wrong. So, my bad. Mea culpa. I have now corrected that.
Apologies. Apologies.
J.R. Ward. Dark Lover.
Yeah.
Narrated by... We're going with Jim Frangione, right?
That's how it's said on the podcast. So, or I'm sorry, on the Audible.
It's the first book in the Black Dagger Brotherhood series. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we get introduced to them.
Yep. Yep. And they all have the same...
Oh, we have to do a synopsis. Oh, shit. I need to plan this one out. This is going to be super hard. Okay. Quick synopsis. Super confusing book with lots of... things that I don't know if I'm still being recorded at the moment. I am. Yay!
I don't know what happened. Sorry, people, sorry. If you...
Phone malfunctions. We're fine. Stupid. So, we meet Beth. She is in a small town in New York.
That's what I would say.
Right? Mm-hmm. I wasn't familiar with it. Small town New York. She is working at a newspaper. She's not really a... Big reporter. She's kind of a reporter, but she's not one of the big fish.
Right. She's trying to get there.
She's mostly like, they keep dumping editing type work on her. She's an orphan, so she doesn't know any of her family. She thinks both of her parents died, like, were either dead before she was... Well, her father was dead before she was born, and her mother died during birth. But she's 25. She had a lot of friends who are cops because she works closely with them trying to get the scoop on the stories in town so she can be a better reporter. Mm-hmm. And then one day she meets a mysterious stranger who comes in their house and fucks her brains out. His name is Rath.
Within 2 minutes of meeting.
It happens so fast. and then we discover that Rath is the king of... these vampires, and he's a particularly he's the king of all vampires, but he is the leader of the Brotherhood of the Dagger, Black Dagger warriors. He's the leader of the warriors. There's this group of warriors, six or so of them, that are supposed to, they're the strongest of the vampires, and they're supposed to fight to protect vampires, because there's another group of people called the Lessers who are not vampires, but they have no soul because the Omega took their soul, and I don't understand it, but they are gray. They're gray people, and they try to kill vampires, but they're not like in typical vampire novels or other genre of this type, other, everything I just said is wrong. Sorry. Other novels within this genre, it's either the vampires are good or the slayers who are trying to kill the vampires are good. But this one... No one's really good, but the Lessers are really bad because they have no souls and are evil, but they only seem to want to kill vampires, which kind of makes them seem less evil, but they also kind of kill humans because one of them kept killing prostitutes.
Yeah.
Sex workers, I would like to say. Yes. In this book, they're all called whores because this book is terrible.
And we will address that later.
But anyway, so Rath is the king of the vampires and leader of the warriors. Okay. Beth is one of the warrior's daughters. She's a half-breed. She's half vampire, half human. And he's concerned that she's going to go through the change. It's really hard to go through the change, especially if you're part human, and you could easily die. So he's asked the king to help her through it because he has the strongest bloodline. The king says no. Then that guy dies. And the king's like, I feel bad. I should do this. So Rath goes and meets her and then fucks her and falls in love with her. And then she goes through her change and they're all vampires and they're cool. And they kind of defeat a couple of the Lessers, but not many, because it's really an overarching story plot that's going to continue for 14 more books. I think I got it in there.
The end.
The end!
I mean...
Wait, yeah, they get married. Yeah. The end.
They fall in love, they get married, they have sex and sex and sex throughout this whole book. So there's a lot of different stories going on, and there's a lot of different groups of people.
So much.
At one point, I was confused between Fritz, who is the butler, and...
Well, because he's a doggin, which they just start... From jump, they just start throwing these words out. These terms get thrown at you. Fucking lessers and vampire. Civilian vampire comes out of nowhere. Nobody tells you what it is. I had to infer from the book using intellectual techniques of critical reading to decide that civilian vampires are vampires who are not part of the Brotherhood. You'd think that'd be something somebody would mention. No, they didn't. They just start calling people civilian vampires.
Well, these vampires can mate, obviously, and reproduce.
Yes, both with each other and with humans.
And with humans. So there has to be civilian vampires out there because they're all sexual beings.
Well, I don't know why we had... Not the lessers, I think it's more the term civilian vampire that I was drawing, it's a particularly like unnecessary civilian vampire. You just call them all vampires, and you guys are the warriors. Yeah. The vampire warriors.
We're okay with that. Like I would have gotten the last
book. Instead I was like, oh, what's a civilian vampire?
Right, exactly.
What is that? Where do they come from? I don't know. What are they? What the fuck is a lesser? I still don't fucking know. All I know is that. Okay. So what I gather from this book. Okay. Oh my god, we have so much. Oh, Jesus balls. Is there is a being. It is the
scribe virgin.
She created vampires. We don't know why. She just did.
She's really little.
She's apparently tiny and covered in black satin and also glows, but we don't know that. We don't know why. Anyway. So she, in the lore, created vampires. Then the Omega, which we haven't met and we don't know much about, I think he must come up in other books, got mad that she has power of creation and he does not. So he couldn't create anything to counteract the vampires that she created. But what he could do is take humans and corrupt them by taking their souls and turning them into lessers. Mm-hmm. And the lesser's sole duty is to attack and kill the vampires. To get rid of the vampires that the scribe virgin has created. So there's that happening. Then one of the lessers, who's one of the four, there's apparently, like, there's like a hierarchical chart of, like, the Omega is mm-hmm. at the top. And then there are four lessers that are, like, their, like, co-executive mm-hmm. committee. And then there's all the other lessers that they keep turning. Because they can turn indefinitely. It's just taking humans and putting them through this process mm-hmm. where they lose their souls. Mm-hmm. And then apparently over time, the longer they are remain in that state, mm-hmm. the more they become gray. Like if they start with like black hair, their hair slowly turns like white, you know, and their mm-hmm. skin turns white and their eyes lose their color and they become just like gray people. I don't. And they smell like baby powder.
Yeah, they smell like baby
and
powder.
And so everyone can identify them and thinks they're weird. And anyway, it's fucked. This book was hard. I have a lot of
There's a lot to discuss about this book.
I got maybe a quarter of the way in before I was 100% convinced this book was written by a man. I really still am not, I still can't be really convinced that it wasn't. Like maybe J.R. Ward is secretly a pseudonym for some guy and they just put up pictures of a lady. I don't know. That would be fine. I just was, it doesn't feel, it felt so weird. Like it is overtly masculine.
It's very aggressive. It's overly aggressive.
It's aggressive
in the way that it was written. Yeah.
The men are hyper masculine and hyper aggressive. Yeah. And I know we have read some books already.
Lord of the Underworld.
We started with the Lord of the Underworld series, which is a group of men, warriors, who've been cursed to house demons in their bodies mm-hmm. and live forever in a castle in Budapest with just their own male company. And even them, they came off less masculine than these fucking men. These men have like tattoos, piercings, they only wear black leather, they only talk in bro code, mm-hmm. they like yell and punch each other all the goddamn time. They're just aggressive about things and everything. It was hard. It was like a struggle. Anyway, go ahead.
No.
I feel like I've talked nonstop for like 5 minutes.
You gotta let them know how you feel about this.
I feel very strongly about this.
With that said, though, the main characters in this book are Wrath, who is the king of the vampires, and Beth, who is the daughter of Darius, who is the vampire that dies.
Yes. He dies very early.
Very early. He gets blown up.
In a car.
Also, and
these vampires are kind of easy to kill.
Yeah.
Like four vampires.
Yeah.
It does not require a stake or beheading. Sunlight does kill them.
Sunlight hurts them.
But also, like, they can just be shot.
And they can apparate, but not around steel. Like, they're...
Yeah, they have, like, it's almost like a fairy thing there. That took, like, a fey turn,
mm-hmm.
because steel and iron is, you know, usually something that the fairies are allergic to, but in this world, they can disappear and reappear, but as long as there's not steel around or iron around. Yeah. I don't know. It was...
So they definitely have something to fight for because they have to... They can be killed easily, but they are also... I mean, the sex in this book, which is our purpose of this, is to mm-hmm. talk about paranormal romance and all of that, it's good. I mean, and it's plentiful.
We have some good sex scenes. Plentiful. There's sex a lot of
teasing between one of the female vampires and a human that is one of the detectives in the police department that Beth is friends with.
Yeah, Butch.
So, Butch.
He's just a regular old human dude.
Mm-hmm. So I have to say, from the very beginning, when I first started listening to this book, if we're going to talk about just the storyline at first, I seriously thought that Beth was going to be raped in the beginning of this story.
Okay. Chapter one.
And I was going to stop listening to it because
I don't want
to hear it narrated at all.
Absolutely not.
So
if that had turned into a rape scene, I was going to quit the book.
We would have had to say, hey,
can you change books?
No, we don't read that book. That's it.
It starts with a graphic rape scene. So, luckily, she fought her attacker off. So yeah, it's a real, like, kind of empowering scene because instead she used her smarts. And at this point, she didn't know she was about to be a vampire.
Right.
So this is all just her.
Well, the vamps in this story, in this actual book, the way that she created these vampires is you're not bitten to be a vampire. So there's no poison or serum or whatever it is that's coming from a vampire into a human that poisons their blood. You have to be bred to be a vampire. So you're either vampire baby or you're vampire human baby.
Yep.
So, and she's a vampire human baby, and obviously they are.
And even then, there's a chance with vampire human babies that they won't turn. They could just end up human and not ever go through the change.
Right.
But when they go through the change, it can be extra hard because they have human part, human DNA. They don't even drink human blood.
Right.
This is another weird thing about these vampires. They
do
drink blood, but they're only allowed to drink blood from another vampire of the opposite gender of them. Mm-hmm. So the men drink from women vampires and the women drink from male vampires. I should use the terms they use in the book because they call everyone just female and male. They go real hard at that and they don't say women, men. They females, the males.
Well, they've got the terms for each. Like if it's their blood, if it, the vampire that they drink from has a specific name.
Yeah, that's a word that I didn't remember.
I don't remember it either.
Seychelles or something.
So it was something weird like that, but yeah. And then, and that is a different group of people too.
So weird because it's literally, in the beginning, Wrath is paired with Marissa. They're a
vampire. Blood pairs.
And he doesn't want her to be like his real wife, when she needs blood, she has to come to him and he will give her blood. And then when he needs blood, he goes to her and drinks her blood. It is fucking crazy. Like, that's nonsense. Because if you're supposed to be getting something from this blood, if it helps, like, they get real weak and weird if they don't. Like, he almost at one point, like, loses control because he hasn't eaten in so long. They also eat regular food, but they need blood to keep up their strength. But it doesn't make any sense to me if it's the same pair just trading blood fucking back and forth, back and forth, back and forth.
Right.
Why either of them would ever be strong. They should be weak because they keep giving up their fucking blood.
Here's something that I don't understand. So, like, towards the end of the book, and we're obviously jumping around here, but towards the end of the book, Wrath, he gets shot in the chest or the stomach or something.
Oh, the head, the stomach,
and
the
so
neck, yeah.
Marissa, or not Marissa, Beth at this time had already transformed. She is now full-blown vampire. Mm-hmm. But she wasn't able to still feed him and give him the blood that he needed to sustain.
She doesn't have strong blood.
So she doesn't have, because Marissa's part of royalty, right? That's
she
why?
She's full vampire and she's a royal vampire. So she's the strongest bloodline.
Okay. And like, he's the king, so
he's the
gets
king.
That.
He's that's why Darius wanted him to help Beth when she transitions,
right. So
because he's the strongest male vampire there is, because he's 100% pure royal bloodline. That's why he's king.
Mm-hmm.
So if she used his blood when transforming, when going through the chain, she had a better chance of surviving. Whereas if she had just had, you know, Joe Schmo civilian vampire, she probably wouldn't have made it.
So,
but her blood is weak because she's a half vampire.
Right.
And she's new and she's weak and all this stupid shit. So they needed Marissa to give blood to Wrath when he was injured because her blood is strong.
So then for the rest of their lives, does Marissa still have to provide blood to Wrath even though he's now married to Beth? That's where I was confused.
I don't think so unless he's injured. My guess is
he could still feed off of.
He'll feed off of Beth once, because according to him, he only needs to feed like every 6 months. So it's not all the time.
Okay.
And I don't know. you guys, I don't know.
There was a...
This is not explained. Like, there was a lot of assumption that you would understand this particular type of vampire world that she had created without any fucking background.
Yeah.
And I was not following.
It was very, very hard.
I was like, who the hell are all these groups? And what are they do? We don't even know what Doggin are yet. No. All we know is Fritz is one, and he's the most delightful character there is. He is this little servant man who just wants to be helpful, and nobody likes him, and it's sad.
People like him, don't they?
Well,
I know that. So Wrath is aggressive at first, but that's because he's the king, and
he's been alone for millennia. He's a loner. You don't understand his loner tendencies. But he doesn't want help.
He does say, you know, I should stop. Eventually, he's like, I should stop acting like a real dick to these people, to Marissa and to
everyone Fritz. Around you, you fucking asshole. Yeah. You should stop being a giant dick. Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe. So,
but oh, the things that love and pussy will do you.
I think that's it. She must have magic pussy.
Because, it must be magic pussy.
Well, first off, every man in the book wanted her.
That's true. I mean,
she's supposed to be drop-dead gorgeous. She has zero interest in dating. Mm-hmm. She starts off just basically turning down everyone who asks. She almost gets raped, but she doesn't.
Yeah, she turns down all these men, and then Wrath comes into her bedroom one night, and within, 2 minutes, she's like...
But I do have to say, they tried to play it off, but I'm going to go with that initial scene was date rape. Because he was smoking the weird red cigars.
You're right.
And the cigar smoke is supposed to calm so he could talk. Because he went there just to talk to her, to tell her, I knew your father. He was a vampire. No, you're going to be half vampire. The change is coming. Don't freak out. We can help you.
And
instead of saying these things, because he didn't say any of these things, he just fucked her on the couch.
He did at first try to avoid it, though. He did it for a page or something.
Maybe a page, for
a little bit, but then she was just like, I want you.
Yes. And then he had at one point, he's like, the red smoke isn't an aphrodisiac. And I'm like, oh, that your one throwaway line that's gonna get this out of being fucking date rape. You walk into her house with a substance and you dose her with it, and then she wants to fuck you. And this isn't date rape because you used one line that said, the red smoke isn't an aphrodisiac. Therefore, it's fine to use.
It's all good.
Anyway, it's still, I don't know. I'm so torn on this book.
Because
I liked a lot of it. I did. I liked parts of it. I really did. Written well. Sex scenes were written well.
I think it was just the storyline and the different groups that were in. There was so too much going on.
We never even scratched the surface with the doctor and his whole plan to try to create blood so you didn't have to drink from other vampires.
Right. He's an underground. He's
got this
vampire doctor.
I think his life partner, mate, died. And so he's sad. And he doesn't like having to drink from other women because he feels like he's betraying her memory. Mm-hmm. But he doesn't want to just die. This is why this thing is weird. And I think if you threw out one piece here, if we just took away the piece where you can only feed from a vampire of the opposite sex, and most of the time you're mated to them, if you threw that one fucking addendum off of this, I think it makes a lot more sense.
Yeah.
The whole thing takes a turn. It stops being kind of crazy.
Yeah. I mean, everything does tie in together because... So, the doctor, and I wish I knew his name, it's...
Haversham?
Or something.
Havers.
Havers is Marissa's brother, and he is real protective of her. Well, he doesn't like how Wrath has been treating Marissa, so he goes... He devises this plan, and it's like... It's the highest dishonor where the penalty is death if you threaten the king. And so, because Wrath is king, and Wrath has no interest in Marissa, and Marissa's all down on herself because she's like, oh, I really want this to be so much more, but he doesn't feel that way for her.
They were contracted to, or I guess contract's probably not the right word, but whatever, from before they were both turned. Before they both changed. Because you're human up until you're 25, and then you change into a vampire. And a lot of the royal families will put covenants or whatever on their children as to, you are promised to so-and-so. Yeah. It's like an arranged marriage situation. So everyone knew he was always going to be king. He came from, royal family. Mm-hmm. She's royal, but not a queen or anything. But she was promised, that they would be together once they both turned. So So he turned, she came to him, but he never loved her. Mm-mm. And so apparently in this society, everyone knew that. And they knew that she basically failed at being a woman.
Right.
Because he didn't love her.
That's
And
what
so
it was.
She lived this really sad, pathetic, because she's a virgin. She's promised to him. So no other male vampire could touch him.
Right.
Could touch her.
Right.
And he kept trying to get her to get out of the contract. Because apparently in this, the woman can... you know, break the covenant or whatever.
But then she is shunned or whatever.
Well, no,
right?
She'd be fine if she broke it. If he broke it, she'd be
then
dead.
She's shunned. She'd be right. Dead. That's what it was. Okay.
So he never wanted to do that because he doesn't want to hurt her. He just doesn't want. Doesn't love her, and she's fucking broken about it. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, and we're talking centuries.
Yeah.
Imagine three centuries. You basically are the wife of a person who won't love you, touch you, yep. see you, mm-hmm. just like basically feeds off you and then leaves.
Yep.
Like, oh dear God, that sucks.
I know, that sounds terrible.
I felt fucking terrible for her too, but...
At one point...
But if he kept giving... Here's my other... Though, if he kept giving her the out and she never took it, that is on her. Like,
that's
maybe
true.
You try for 100 years, but come around, you know, you're 150 and he's still not in love with you, you fucking give up.
And isn't there an announcement he can make as the king saying, look, bitches, there's nothing wrong with this woman.
I am a weird, loner, aggressive right. male. Well, he hates himself because his family died when he was like 19 and he thinks he should have done something about it, but he wasn't a vampire yet. And before he was a vampire, it sounded like barely a functioning human.
Yeah.
Oh my God, he's blind. We haven't even mentioned that.
I was gonna bring Jesus. That up.
There's too much. They need to take
king.
Five elements and fucking scrap
and
them.
And it'll be the same book almost.
It would be.
Yeah. It'll be a better book.
Just take five elements and throw them out the window. Someone needed an editor to tell her. Nope. Too much. You put too much in
also,
here.
Also, this doesn't need to be 54 chapters long.
Fuck. So fucking long. I really was like, when is this?
I know.
Jesus.
But yeah, he's a blind.
He's blind.
He's blind. So he had eyesight problems before he was
like
fully turned.
Partially blind when he was a human. And he seemed to be really scrawny, really thin, really small.
Yeah.
Like almost runt. Like
right.
They kind
right.
of like refer, like he sounded like a runt. And his father locked him in a crawl space when the Lessers attacked and
yeah.
killed the family, killed his mom and dad. And he thinks he should have stopped that. So he's lived 300 years with self-loathing because he doesn't deserve to be king in
right.
his mind because mm-hmm. he didn't save his family, which that's annoying.
And here's another confusing concept. So you're either vampire or like full blood vampire or you're human vampire, but you don't actually turn until you're around 20s. So
25.
Then if you're a vampire, what the fuck are you before that? Are you
you're
just a human? That doesn't make sense to me.
None of it makes sense. This world is
None
weird.
None of that makes any sense. But so anyway, if
just
you
throw that all
if
out.
You guys decide to delve into this book, maybe you'll understand it better than we will. But
yeah, here's hoping.
It got really, really confusing.
It was not helped by the narrator.
Oh.
I am
yeah.
the biggest fan of audiobooks. I'm sure I've mentioned it. I fucking love them. I've been listening to them for decades.
They're
great. I love audiobooks. They're so good. Oh, poor Jim.
I didn't like this one.
Not great.
I really felt like somebody was reading a newspaper article to me.
Just monotone.
And it was just like, he couldn't really change his voice for the different characters. And
yeah.
I understand that's hard. I mean,
we
had a complaint
Jesus.
About the accents at one point in one of the other books.
Vlad.
And that was extreme. But this one...
At least that lady tried.
And she was consistent.
She was consistent.
One.
Vlad had a consistently terrible,
yes.
but consistent accent.
Because at least we knew that when that accent came by, we knew it was Vlad. This one was very different. There is a Hispanic character in this book, Jose. He's one of the cops that's in this. That's Butch's friend. That's Beth's friend. He just, you know, he's speaking. He has dialogue and everything. But at one point in this book, when Jim is reading Jose's scene and he's talking to Butch, all of a sudden he's got this slightly, not even slightly, all of a sudden he's got this Spanish accent. Like, it's coming out in him. And there's
nothing...
He sounds
like a Jose out of the blue.
He sounds like a Jose out of the blue. Nothing wrong with that. fine. But start it from the beginning and finish it to the end. It was like,
he only had it for like a chapter.
Is this a different character?
Who's this?
Who is this guy? I don't know who this is. He was very consistent with Butch. Butch probably was pretty consistently
like a deep gravel.
Yeah. And
he made zero effort to differentiate Beth from any other character.
Yeah, I couldn't.
He just is like, I can't do a woman's voice, so I'm just going to talk.
Well, he did good with Marissa because she was more soft tones.
He did a real soft voice for Marissa. Slow
and sweet with Marissa, which was fine, but
all the other ones, there's no difference.
They melded.
He just read the story. Yeah. It'd be like if I read it and I have no training and I couldn't do it. Like, I mean, I wouldn't.
Unfortunately, I'm not interested in really listening to another book from him. But if we come across another great story that we're like, we have to, maybe I'll just read the novel. But, you know, I'll give him another chance. But that was definitely hard to listen to.
It was difficult. On top of it, it suffered from
the recording in general.
Recording quality was not the strongest. I mean, usually Audible books I buy from Audible on, you know, audible.com, they're usually like the highest quality. I've never run into one before that I had trouble with, but this one, there was background noises. The chapters were not the different recordings weren't well timed. So obviously there's cuts. No one reads a full story in one setting.
And without messing up.
But so sometimes there'd be like long pauses between chapters. It would just go to just blank, nothing. And you'd so long that you would actually look at your record, like your phone or your iPod, and go, are you still playing?
Right.
Did the book stop? What happened here? Is it over? And then it would all of a sudden go to the next chapter. So sometimes there were really long ones. And then other times chapters would fall like on the heels of a word. It would go word, like next chapter, or even like breaks within chapters. Sometimes we're not given any space.
Right.
So you'd be.
Or too long a space.
It was all over the map.
It was very weird.
I'm surprised at the quality of the recording. Yeah. I think it's not done that very well.
And I think it elongated it. It was a long story to begin with, but maybe just because of all of the other factors, it just made it a little bit harder to get through. I think the story is okay. It was just so confusing with all of the different characters and all of that in it, but it made it more difficult with this narrating.
Here's the thing. When you're going to have a character, Beth absolutely doesn't know anything about this world. She was raised in an orphanage and in foster homes because she had no parents. Her mother died in birth and had, you know, put on her birth certificate that her father was dead because her father was a vampire. Mm-hmm. And I guess the mom didn't know how to put that down. So Beth grew up with zero knowledge of this supernatural and this other world. She meets Rath and he does zero effort to explain it to her.
Right.
Now, normally in these books, that is the perfect time for a whole bunch of exposition. It's the minute when the author can tell you their world without it being weird because the character is telling somebody who already knows.
Mm-hmm.
It's an opportunity because, okay, now Rath gets to explain the vampire world to Beth because she doesn't know it.
Right.
He could have taken that time to explain the lessers were, what the hell civilian vampires were, how it all worked. At no point did Rath do this, though. She barely asked any questions. Right. She asked mostly about, like, if she'd get to go outside and how often she had to drink. But, like, none of the real questions that needed to be answered. And he didn't volunteer any of this information. He starts calling her Leland by, like, midway through the book, which is basically wife. And doesn't explain that term to her. She has to ask, like, fucking two chapters later, like, what are you calling
what
me?
What is that?
What is this? Oh, we're married. What? Like, I mean, it's so fucking bizarre because you have a perfect setup for an opportunity to lay out your world for us and give us the complete history.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's absolutely, completely unintentional. But we read this following the book we read last week, which was Darkness Dawns, and also about a kind of weird take on vampires.
Right.
Where in that book, the immortal guardians are vampires. They have to live on blood, but they have special powers and survive. Whereas if someone gets the disease, the virus, if a human gets the virus, they most likely become a bad vampire, which just, they become crazy and murder some. It is so, being able to juxtapose these two books is really great.
Right.
Because again, that book is a group of men There were some women who were immortal guardians. We didn't. Mm-hmm. We only met one. We didn't meet one. A lot of them. But mm-hmm. So it was mostly men who were hyper strong and battle ready and trained in weaponry. Mm-hmm. And they had powers. All of this stuff. And then you compare them to the men in this book who are also super strong and, mm-hmm. you know, immortal and weapons and all of it. And they're so very different. Like, this is a way to write a group of men with depth mm-hmm. and characters. Like, all the men we met there had different personalities. There was depth to those characters. Even ones that we didn't meet for very long.
Right.
We still kind of got to know.
You got to know.
These are all such one-dimensional fucking masculine stereotypes. Mm-hmm. They're all the same men. They have no depth to them. And I just can't say hyper-masculine enough. It is so crazily masculine for a book, a paranormal romance novel. I was just surprised. I was blown away by how, they use words, like, they call women whores.
They're referring to the prostitutes as whores. And they, it's just,
I understand. God, even the cops called them all whores. And I'm like, whores. No!
The whores. They're...
And these were sex workers who had been murdered to further the cause of... Oh, that I don't even understand. There was some other subplot happening where the Lessers were, like, killing prostitutes to, I don't know, trap vampires. It was so confusing.
I don't even know.
It's fucking terrible confusing. But anyway, these poor women keep getting murdered, and the cops aren't even, like, caring. And they're degrading the women through vocabulary. Yeah. And, like, everyone treats Beth as, like, an object. And it just, it's, they pretend to, want to protect her. Like, when the police found out she'd have been almost raped by Billy, they, like, beat the shit out of Billy. And they get really aggressive and crazy mm-hmm. about it. Because, she's their reporter friend.
One of ours, yeah.
Who they protect. But even in that, I was like, what am I reading? What is happening right now? So, if you have only time to read one book about vampires in a group of men who are immortal warriors, don't read this one, read the other
one. The other one was fantastic. It was such a great book. Storyline, writing, the sex and everything of it was good.
But here's the thing. Okay. Oh, God, I can't. I'm so torn.
No, go for it. It's what we're doing this for.
Because I still like this better than Vlad. I really fucking hated Vlad.
I don't think there is...
Wait, why?
I can't do Vlad.
Okay, and then, Wrath takes a turn in this book, because he starts off as pretty masculine, really, aggressively masculine, mm-hmm. And he goes to this, they have this one dinner scene, which, I would have fucking walked out.
Believe that happened, and she stayed for that.
She stayed.
Well, and then she, they fucked after that. I was like, no fuck you, fucking, not fuck you. I'm fucking leaving,
fuck
asshole.
All of this. He invites her over for dinner, gets all dressed up, she walks to the house, and he's immediately like, whatever, you can come if you want. I'm going to go over here and eat, and I don't want to talk to you. And it was the most petulant bullshit I have ever witnessed. And literally,
terrible.
If someone acted that way to me, I'd be like, I'm going home now.
Yeah, he came to the realization that he was doing all of this for a human or something like that.
He decided, he's like, this is stupid. I don't love her.
Yeah.
I'm just going to leave as soon as she turns into a vampire.
Right.
I'm just doing this till she turns. I don't need to do this. It didn't make sense because I don't think even he understood. He was just angry. So he acted like a fucking baby.
He was a dick.
He's like, let me feed you strawberries. And I was like, whoa. At that point, I thought he was bipolar. I was like, I think he has a mental illness.
He did. He was, and then he was, yeah, he was very
And then he was crying like a baby for the last five chapters of the book.
There was so much going on though.
It was an emotional.
I don't want him to cry. That was Maddox was chasing Ashlyn down the castle and laughing and giggling and all that.
This is my own personal sexism I fight, because men should be able to cry.
Sure.
Absolutely. Not only is it healthy, it's an expression of emotion. And it's a piece of toxic masculinity in our society. Not only does that damage women and why we need feminism because we're oppressed, but it also mm-hmm. damages our men.
Right.
Boys are taught from a very young age not to cry, to man up, to be a man. You know, emotions are unmanly, feminine things are weak, and women are the weaker gender, and men have to be strong, and you can't have an emotion.
Right.
And that's damaging to their psyche, and it creates unhealthy adult males who don't understand emotions and don't communicate well with themselves mm-hmm. or with others. So I don't want to be men can't cry, because I don't believe that. It's that this man took this turn this fast, And I was like, where? And, like, he's literally bawling.
Like a baby.
It didn't really stem from anything. He survived being almost dead, mm-hmm. which I would cry about. I'd cry if I was almost dead. But he didn't cry about that. He cried about her being there with him.
Yeah.
And he loved her so much, he was happy she was with him.
Right.
So he cried. I don't know. I don't want to say, like, men can't cry, because I don't believe that, but I particularly was turned off by that moment of crying. Because I was like, this guy, who's been hyper-masculine for an entire book, spends the last 5 chapters of this book crying like a baby.
Pretty much. It there was so many
turns. It didn't make sense. It was just incoherent.
I mean, because I tried to put myself in the position of the main character so that I can get a big feel for this book. I don't find myself relating to Beth in any way.
We don't have any idea who Beth is. She has no character.
Right.
She has no development. We were given a weird line drawing of her life. She is an orphan. She's a reporter. She lives in a small town. She has a cat.
Named Boo.
Cat's named Boo. She's named Beth. Literally, that's all you know. And she doesn't develop. She doesn't go through different emotions with.
Mm-hmm.
She pretty much, he walked into her house, she fucked him and fell in love.
Yeah.
She doesn't fight that at all, really. She doesn't like when he's acting like a jerk, because he is acting like, but even then, she stays because she wants to ask. Most of the time when she stays, she feels trapped into it because she's been told she's about to turn into a vampire.
Right.
And she doesn't know what the fuck that means. So that's a little bit like, okay, well, this guy's acting like an asshole, but I think my life's about to really get upended and I should understand what's about to happen to me.
Stick around and take this.
And if I don't stay here, what happens if I go change in the middle of, like, the newspaper office and I become a fucking vampire there? Like, it's not going to go well. Right. She actually does start changing in her house.
Yeah.
Butch finds her and he tries to take her to a hospital, which would kill her. Like, I mean,
yeah.
Oh my god. So that's my problem. Like, she's strong. She does fight off her attacker, Billy, when he tries to rape her. That's good. I liked her when she did that. I was like, ooh, cool. And then there's literally nothing else to Beth.
Yeah.
So it's hard to put yourself in her place, because you don't get anything out of her. We aren't given emotions. Like, honestly, growing up in a foster home, she should have a strong reticence to form close initial ties with people, because she's probably had a real tough life with that. She was never just adopted by one family and stayed there forever. She had like 5 or 6 that we heard about. So she should be more skeptical of Wrath, and she should be more skeptical of the other brothers, and she only shows like a little bit of sensitivity. I mean, she just doesn't. There's just nothing to her. That's the problem with all the characters. Aside from Butch, who actually, I think, was developed.
Yes, he did. He was the only one.
He's like, he lost his sister to kidnapping and murder at a very young age.
Yeah.
And that pretty much determined the trajectory of his life.
And
he became a cop. He's aggressive against bad guys, sticks up for little guys, and he drinks himself to, you know, practically to death, and he's living too hard. He's alone. You know, we get a lot about Butch, and he, like, has a good inner monologue that we learn about. Yeah. Like, he's a likable character, because we actually have...
Right, because like, then you'd hear the transition with him, and he starts to fall in love with Marissa. Marissa falls in love with him, so there's something bubbling there. He becomes a buddy-buddy with the Black Dagger guys.
He hangs out with the vampires.
They
bond over Red Sox.
The Red Sox, yeah, over baseball.
And they drink scotch, and they like rap. Yeah. I mean, there's just...
I mean, Wrath almost kills him at one point.
Oh, they all almost kill him.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. They have him held hostage. But then they're like, hey, we're just... I don't think that this... I don't think the author really likes to describe how vampires work. Because even when Beth was telling Butch about what had happened to her and what her transition was going to be or was, it's completely mulled over and all of a sudden he knows about vampires.
Yeah, she just goes, I'm a vampire now. And he's like, no, you're not. And then she shows him her teeth. And then we're like, next chapter. And it's like, Jesus. So yeah, I guess that's it. You pegged it. The author doesn't fucking understand her own vampires. So she's just like, here's these things. I have
sweeping under the rug.
Haven't 100% fleshed out. There's some really weird concepts in here about blood drinking from other vampires of the opposite gender. Poor gay vampires.
I know.
Right? They have to go, like, sorry, dude, you know, husband, I gotta go drink from this chick, because apparently that's the only way our species lives. Who plans that?
It's
weird.
It is weird.
But again, I don't hate the book. I just struggled with it.
It was a struggle for sure. Here's what I didn't struggle with, though, because there are some good aspects of this book. And that is actually the sex scene. So here's kind of what I feel about the writing with it. So you have to develop the story. I understand that, especially if you're going to have 14 books after this or however many there are.
At least 12, I think.
So you have to start off with the plot, with the storyline and all of that, and then develop it as you go along. The author really likes her sex scenes, though, because they were different from, like, one another.
Yep.
And they were so good.
They were so good.
They were incredibly good. Yeah. They were, I mean, like, the last book was really good, and there was a few that we'd read before that were just kind of like, you know. And they had full-on sex scenes in this book, but they also had teasers, which were really nice. Like, I really liked the teasers between Butch and Marissa. Oh, I thought God. That those were really, like,
that scene ooh. Out on the porch on the second floor was so yes. funny. And, like, okay, if it hadn't been for Butch, there'd be no humor in this fucking book.
That's true.
This that book was huge. Like, he brought the, like, comic relief. Yeah. And, like, he's like, whoa, what is happening?
Yep.
No, it was adorable.
Because he was just, like, this really butch type of a person. He was just like that, but then he became this bumbling, fumbling fool when he
the
met.
Names in this book are straight up bananas.
They're weird. They're so weird. But this is, so, I mean, I don't know if you want to get into
let's do that.
This is a good segue into our
kiss and tell for this book. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about orgasms, and especially since, you know, we're both women talking about women's orgasms. Mm-hmm. And in this book, we learn, so the very first time that they have sex, there's this one line, like at the very end of that scene, where she has, you know, something about Beth having multiple orgasms, the first in her life. And then we learn later, like, it comes up over and over again, that she'd never had any orgasms before. She right. wasn't a virgin. She right. had sex, but she'd never orgasmed. Mm-hmm. And somehow that had something to do with the vampire transition. They were not very clear on that. Again, weird just stop drive. Making shit up.
It's difficult to follow.
But anyway, so, like, he brought it up to her. He's like, yeah, when, you know, you orgasmed for the first time the other night. And she's like, how do you know? Like, because you were shocked you were having them.
Right.
And I just thought that was a really good example of, you know, because first off, she should probably have been shocked to be having them. Just because she should have been shocked to be having sex with the guy who just broke into her apartment.
Just like, six, and
yeah, right. Like, that would have been where I'd start with being shocked.
Right.
But then secondary shocks come in. Like, orgasms, not all women. You know, everyone's different. It's going to be different for everyone. But a more typical position is that it is harder for women to orgasm. And you shouldn't expect it, like, on your first try.
If you do, then you're very lucky.
Yeah, you're fucking lucky as hell.
Yeah, and that did not happen with me.
We discussed that as, you know, no, orgasms with sex for me took years and partners and partners.
And then it was like a light bulb went off and you're like, well, shit.
I discovered it for myself much sure. earlier. And yeah. I was like, so I knew it was a thing, like, mm-hmm. and it could happen. It's just hard. It's like the spots that have to be hit are just not.
You just want, yeah.
engaged through most typical vaginal intercourse, you know.
Well, that's the problem when we have sex with mere humans and not paranormal lovers. So
damn it,
that is our problem.
That's the cross we bear.
Damn it.
These mere mortals with which we're forced to have sex with just aren't as talented as these vampire immortals.
Right
They don't have centuries of experience.
Right, exactly. It actually took them centuries to get an orgasm.
That's right. But like, that's the thing. All of these guys have lived for hundreds of thousands of years. That's why they can give women orgasms.
Right.
They've practiced.
Practiced for
men who are like
years.
35. They've only been practicing giving women orgasms for maybe like 10, 15 years. And they probably haven't been practicing all that hard.
And it's, I mean, I'm not going to speak for everyone. I'm sure there's lots of people out there that have mind-blowing sex. And it's, I mean, you see it on TV all the time. But
women on TV orgasm so fucking fast and frequently, it's bullshit.
In books and in shows, movies or
there
whatever.
There should be a movie scene where there's like 15 minutes later and he's like, anything? And she's like, no! Just quit already! I'll go finish later in the bath.
Just
Stop! Hurry, you hurry
now
up.
Now I'm dry and tired.
Now I just want you to finish and leave me alone.
I just want you off of me at this point.
Can you just finish, please?
No, I'm not that cynical.
We can do this porn style and you can pull out and shoot on my chest. It's all good. I will go take a shower and take care of myself.
Anyway.
But you're right. I mean, the
yes. Don't do not set your love life up by what you see on TV or movies. Yeah, I think it's a real unrealistic world.
Unless that is your world, then I'll bully for you. That is amazing. And so, you know, I'm not dissatisfied with my sex life, but my sex life before my current sex life was not a really interesting one.
Well, and you and Dan have been together a long time.
We've been together almost 15 years. I mean, so
that puts you real young.
That's before. True. We were 18 and 19 when we got together.
There's a real low likelihood of having real great sex in your teens.
Well, so
I think
I'm gonna tell you guys about my first sexual experience, which I think is kind of not
first orgasm
with Dan. I've asked him before, but I have my blessing or his blessing and permission to talk about him on this. This podcast, because he is so supportive and so great to me. So we'd stayed up all night watching The Lord of the Rings, all fucking night long, just talking and watching TV. And he takes his roommate to work and he comes back. And it's sweet, but it's hilarious because it's just a million years ago. So we start cuddling, we start making out and then everything. And then he runs into his room, he grabs a condom and he comes back and he's like, "So how do you want it?" And I didn't know what to say because that was the weirdest thing I'd ever heard. I was like, oh, I should not be doing this if somebody's going to ask me how I want it or how I like it. I don't even remember, but I was like, too late. I got to go with this. So we start doing it. And I actually had two orgasms the first time we did it. And he had none.
What?
None. So I failed, apparently, at that. But I told him I couldn't go anymore. That's not the story now. Now it's different.
Yeah.
But, you know, no complaints now. We're both absolutely fine with selfies and it's all good. But that first night, and he does tease me about it a lot still, but that was my experiences too. But so here's another thing, is multiple orgasms. Like I've experienced more than three or four. I would say about four, that's probably the most. And after, like, the second one, I really don't want any more. I just, like, can I wait an hour or something?
Yeah, okay. I like those. I like that. I don't like them that, like, it gets overwhelming. And it's like.
And it hurts.
And I don't want to be touched anymore. Anywhere. Don't touch any of my skin because I'm overwhelmed.
Yeah.
I feel too much and I'm going to go sit in a corner. So it's a very fine line between like this is great and sensory overload.
Yes,
like where every nerve is just like firing, and you're like, I can't.
No more. Like,
so I know it's some kind of like, again, I think it's because everything we see is such an unrealistic expectation.
Yeah,
we're set up. You know, men are told that women can have multiples, and you should try to get them as many as, you know, like how fun would it be if you just kept giving them orgasms, right? Well, it turns out not that great. Well, to a point. I just feel like we don't talk about sex in this society in a realistic fashion.
Sure.
It's made to look a certain way on movies and in TV, and, you know, of course that's artistic license to a degree.
Sure.
But it's doing us all a disservice. We don't teach sex ed very well in school. I just keep watching these videos that, like, Seriously puts up, and I think BuzzFeed does a couple, where they, like, ask men to, on a diagram, name the different female anatomy.
Yeah.
And none of them can.
Right.
Women can't even name our own fucking anatomy.
Mm-hmm.
And we, like, it's just, it's not talked about in a way that makes it okay to have a good sex life. Like, your expectations aren't going to match reality.
Right. And they aren't. And I think that's where, I mean,
they don't.
if you teach them that, like, this is probably how it's going to be, and what you see on TV and what you read in romance novels is unrealistic, and it's just not something you should try to live up to.
Yeah.
Unless, like I said before, you're a very lucky person and you get to have that in your
life. Yeah.
But even then, it's like, because I've experienced multiple orgasms, I really don't want any. I honestly don't. I will tell you this, though. I was the horniest pregnant person in the world.
I've heard that from other pregnant ladies.
I was Googling this shit because I thought something was wrong with me. And I'm like, this cannot be right. I don't like this. Because to me, it was so like, no, you can't do that. And it wasn't that I was against the sex. I was just against the sex drive. But, I mean, every night for me. Almost. Yeah. And poor Dan was like, I'm cool with this, but this is a lot. Like, even for him, it was a lot. So, I mean, I never watched so much porn by myself. And, like, you know, like, it was just insane, insane, insane. And that was when I liked nipple stimulation. Like, that was just the most amazing feeling. I don't like it now. Like, I like it for some times, but most of the time, I really don't like it. Like, if I'm just, like, I don't know. I have to be really in the mood for nipple stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, that's a different story.
That's another kiss and tell we're going to have to do later.
Yeah.
That didn't come up in this one.
So, you know, so like when I was pregnant, I would have to say that was a different story. But as, you know, not a pregnant
Well, your hormones are all over the map.
Fucked
And
up.
On top of it, you had additional hormones you were being given, right? Or not during your pregnancy?
Not during, okay. Just before, so that I could sustain the pregnancy. And that's a whole other
So who knows, like, your too. Hormones were just...
They're done. Pregnancy fucks you up. Mm. I mean, it just... Yeah, so... so that was different when I was pregnant. But now it's just kind of like, you know... And obviously, as a married couple, you don't have sex all the time. Which is, I'm not complaining about. When you do, it's great. But when you get into that, oh, there are no kids at home right now, and let's break out the toys, let's break out the lube, let's do all this crazy stuff. Yeah, that doesn't last very long, which is fine, because usually I get tired. But once he goes, it's done. Like, what happens now? Now I get my fucking vibrator out. And we go to bed at 10:30. I mean, it's what it is.
No. No, that's a good, that's, yeah. So this book, you know, Beth has her first orgasms ever, mm-hmm. the second she meets Rav, mm-hmm. and then multiple throughout the rest of the book, and I just was like, you know, I don't have that. Like, at least you had them with Dan your first time. That has never happened for me. Sorry, everyone.
Sorry, everyone.
No one I've ever had sex with should ever listen to this podcast. A hope for me. Please, dear God.
Let's just say who cares about that one, because obviously they're the past.
That's true. It's true. It's no one cares.
Right.
But yeah, it's not a common occurrence. I think mine are much, much more challenging. Like, they're very rare. With partners, they're very, very, very rare.
So is it rare because it's just you in general, or is it because of the positions you guys are doing? Because I find that if I'm in a certain position...
Some positions are definitely easier. Sometimes those are harder to encourage. Like, we can do this. But it's also, it is a lot me, and I know that. Because there are definitely times where I get mentally distracted. Mm. Because I'm just like, I don't know, start thinking about something else. And if I'm not 100% focused on the feeling in that area, it will not achieve anything.
That's true.
And so I'll just be like running through how angry I am at my boss in my head for no reason. It's not their fault. That's all on me. I can't blame them for that. And then I feel bad. Then I get into a spiral of like guilt, because I'm like, oh, this is... I'm not contributing right now, and I feel bad about this.
Well, that's when you are like, can you just finish and I'll fix this later.
I'm like, this is not on you. This is on, I took a turn, especially if I've been drinking. If I've been drinking, I have zero focus. Zero focus. So I'm like, let's have sex. And then I'm like,
no. Squirrel.
Like, yeah.
Squirrel.
And they're like, whoa, did we have sex? And they're all like, what is wrong with you? I'm like, I don't know.
the alcohol's fault.
So, again, you know, it's all situational.
Absolutely.
But.
Absolutely.
Big props to Beth and her first orgasm.
Yes.
I was wondering. Okay, we didn't talk about that, though. Like, it's one thing. Like, they, again, it's, she piles so much stuff into this book. Mm-hmm. You'd think that it, okay, she'd had sex but never orgasms. Why didn't she ever do self-stimulation?
Right. It's not like.
And yeah. And then she tried to explain that, like, it had something to do with becoming a vampire.
The sex drive is low or something.
Yeah, sex drive can be low, but that doesn't mean you couldn't, if you really wanted to, try.
I don't, there's a lot of loopholes.
This book is full of loopholes.
A big block of Swiss cheese. It's just a lot of, maybe they get filled later on in the book. I don't know. Obviously, it's working for this author, if there are more books. So.
I'm like... As much as I have talked shit about this book, I do feel compelled to read more of them. I want to know things. I want to know where Butch and Marissa go.
I do want to know about them. They're yes.
I want to understand why one of the vampires, I think, turns into some kind of monster and eats things.
Wolf monster. Yeah, even clothes. He eats clothes.
He eats clothes, and then he becomes back into a vampire. But then his stomach's all distended because he's full of humans that he's eaten.
And their clothes.
I need to know about that. That is some shit I don't understand. One of them has magic tattoos on his hand that if he comes into contact with people, bad things happen. Mm-hmm. We don't know what. I want to understand about that. There is some shit I want to understand. Her whole explanation of what happens to vampire women when they go into heat was crazy. I want to witness that. Because apparently they go into the kneading for 2 days, where they're pretty much the equivalent of being in heat. All vampire males know it. It only happens every 10 years. That's when they can conceive. They lock themselves in a room with their mate for 2 whole days, and the male's practically completely consumed by the end. He's out of blood, he's out of fluid, he's out of everything, and it takes him weeks to recover,
from
2 days of kneading that the female goes through every 10 years. And then there's a chance that she'll have a baby in over a year's time. Because Tor's mate, Wellesley, who we meet, he's the only brother who has a significant mate. All the other brothers just like, fuck around.
They're bachelors.
And she's pregnant. Beth asks her, oh, when are you due? And she's like, over a year. And she already knows she's pregnant. So I'm like, how long is that gestation?
They're elephants, Jesus. Also. It's what that turns out to be. They are also elephants.
24 months
later. They're vampires and elephants.
They're vampire elephants.
There's so much going on in these books. I don't know, but hey, yeah, if you continue on, let me know, because I'm not going to. And not,
oh, no. We're not going to read another one.
I was just going to say, I think eventually we'll get back into it, but.
Here's another thought I wanted to try. If we would like them better read versus audio.
Because
I do think Jim was a particularly difficult, which is interesting because we started these books with a male narrator, Max Delmore, who narrated the Lord of the Underworld series. And I thought he did a good job. I liked him.
Yeah.
It wasn't just that I don't like men reading the books.
Yeah, it was harder for the female voices, obviously.
Yeah, but they're not great.
Right.
But just the same way that Tavia's was a terrible flawed voice. It was horrible, you know. In an ideal world, they would cast multiple readers to read all the different parts if they had infinite amounts of money.
I was going to say, hey, if anybody's out there wants me to stumble across a book they want me to read, then I am more than happy to do that, because I just stumbled across this excerpt. But I definitely think that listening to him was a bit of a...
So, yeah, I mean, we're not going to do it right next, but at some point, I swear, we'll end up going back to these.
Probably.
I want to know.
We've said that about, I think, most of the books that we've read. We're going to delve into the series a little bit. At this point...
Every book we've read has been a series. Are there any that aren't?
I don't know. We'll have to find one. I think all the ones that we've seen are all first books of something.
That's the other question we have to ask ourselves. Are we ever going to just jump into the middle of a series?
That's up to you, man. I'm all willing to do that.
You are?
Yeah.
Then we should.
Because what we're going to do is, I mean, we question it anyway. We're just going to be like, so no. And I think that that would actually maybe pique our interest in starting the series if that's, you know, this character is really developed. We need to find out how they started or whatever, and then it'll get us to
it that. Inherently... Whew, that's a hard one.
Yeah.
I said I was going to be okay with it, and then I immediately, like, my heart hurt a little bit at the idea of not starting at the beginning of a series. I was like, oh, that's, like, five books I would have missed. Oh. You know, like, all of my, like, soul wants to read books from the beginning.
Well, that's just, like, I mentioned a couple podcasts before. I read the Anita Blake Vampire yes. Hunter series. And the book that shows up on all of the romantic novels list, you know, sexy books, mm-hmm. is Cerulean Sins. That's one of the middle books. That's probably the seventh book, which happens to be one of the next books I'm on. But I've read the first couple of books, so I know where their story's going. So that's going to be up to you whether or not you want to start. But when you start with the first couple of books, there's not that much because it's really starting her character and mm-hmm. starting the story and what it is. But when you get to the sex, it's good. Because that really is, like, one of the first ones, actually the first ones that I read that was in
was
that.
Was Anita Blake?
Yeah, for the sexy romance novels. Mm-hmm. That
What's
one happened
that character's name? Oh, Anita Blake is the
character. Anita Blake is the character. Laurel K. Hamilton.
Laurel Hamilton's the...
Yeah, and she's, you know, and she falls in love with a vampire and a werewolf, and then there's were-leopards and were-chipmunks or something like that. I mean, that one...
Not oh chipmunks. My god, how cool.
I know, wouldn't that be sweet if you were... Well, since that's like the paranormal creature that you'd be, it's to wear something.
I would be a wear something. Yeah. I think I'd be a wear chipmunk. I heard of it.
Wear chipmunks is not part of it. But I mean, like, there are wear
leopards. Well, like, I mean, you'd be so tiny and no one would see you and you'd just, like, run around being a chipmunk.
Yeah, exactly.
Kind of like it. Anyway... All right, we have to rate this book.
We have
our Dirty Pleasure rating. Mm-hmm. What do you give it? 1 to 10 on the Dirty Pleasure scale.
So if we're strictly going on Dirty and Pleasure.
Yeah, we can go on whatever. It's just your rating. What do you want to rate it?
My rating is... Shit, this one's hard. This one's hard. Because they were just on completely different scales for me. So storyline-wise, I'm going to give this a 5. Because I think that this can build into a really good story. But because of how it was presenting in the beginning, I just was so lost. Could be how my brain was translating it all. Unfortunately, I'm going to give that a confusing 5. As far as the sex and the steam goes, this one was good. This one was seriously good. I might have to go as far as saying that this was probably better than the last book, even though that one was my favorite.
It still is
my favorite.
The sex scenes in this book are better.
Yeah. So I'm going to have to go with, I rated that one super high.
Like an 8.
I gave that one an 8. I'm going to give this one.
Or an, I don't remember.
Double clicking of the mouse. 8.9. 9. I could give this a 9 because this was good. It sucks because, like, I gave that one a really high one, but and the 9 is super high. Because
so high.
10 is just going to have to be like, oh, I read this book and, like, had an orgasm without any stimulation.
oral orgasm.
It's just being an, oops, it happened. I think I'm going to go with that.
Yeah. No, this one is tough. Yeah, we did. We jumped into this rating system with a real high rating on last week's book.
It's because I just loved it so much.
It was so good.
Compared to the other ones. I mean,
the
besides
reason
the dragon one.
These are well-written, juicy sex scenes. Mm-hmm. And there's very few of the words I hate used.
That's true, except for the words
panties.
That she made up.
She
made up a ton of words.
But my problem isn't as much with the plot of this book. Because I still think that someone needed to tell her to cut five items off of their, like, supernatural list.
Yeah.
Take away 5 things that you think you want to do with these vampires. Just throw them out the window because you got too much. Someone needed to tell her to do that. My bigger issue was the one-dimensional, overtly masculine characters.
That's
like,
true.
I was tired of them. Yeah. And I was like...
You were getting annoying.
And again... I still think maybe this book was written by a man, which is fine.
It's cool.
I keep trying to find the paranormal romance that is written by a man, because I would like to compare it and read it. And if it turns out like this, I'd be like, yeah, I knew I wouldn't like it.
Makes sense.
That's what happened. So I think maybe for the overall book, God, I did enjoy it, though. It's real hard. I think I'm just going to give it one overall rating of, like, a 6.5.
Okay. All right.
Dirty pleasure scale. I'm going to give it, it was satisfying but disappointing. Like, orgasm but disappointing.
Right.
It was kind of a disappointing orgasm.
Like, the sex wasn't good, like, but I got there. Made it up. Yeah.
So, you did your job, but... I'm not sure I enjoyed how I got
not
there.
Not my best. Not my
Can
best.
Do better.
Can do better.
So 6.5. Because I still, like, you're right. Those are some hot sex scenes.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I had to rate them differently. Because the sex scenes were the best we've read.
And they had no shower sex scenes, which I appreciate.
Bonus!
Bonus
point right there.
We've already discussed.
Yeah, I mean, and they had shower scenes. Like, not shower scenes, but, like, this person was in the shower, this person
was in
the shower.
They took a lot of showers. There was a lot of talk about showers.
Yeah, but there was no sex in the shower, which I appreciate.
I appreciate it. All right, guys. I hope this episode wasn't crazy.
I feel like it was, but that's all right. And not crazy in a bad way. I mean,
I feel like we really just rambled all over the place because this book was hard to follow.
It
was.
And
so maybe our podcast about this book is going to be hard to follow.
I think they're all like this, to tell you the truth. I mean, they just kind of go everywhere and they're just like, what are they talking about now?
May not be structure to what we're doing right now.
But that is
weird. We are enjoying it, and I really hope that you guys are too.
I mean, obviously, if you guys are in for the 7th, 8th, whatever one this is, then...
What is this?
I think it's... See, there's a 7th or the 8th. I have no idea. Please don't ask me to count.
Oof.
Yeah.
We should learn that.
We should learn that.
Sorry. Side note. Before the next podcast, we'll know what number we're on. All right. So we're going to, next time, we're going to read Feral Sins. I think it's about wolves. It's by Susan Wright, and the narrator is Jill Redfield. We're going to do another audio. We're probably going to stick with audio for a while just because we're heading into a really busy time of the year, and mm-hmm. it's much easier, more convenient for both of us to listen to the audio. So again, that's Feral Sins.
Sorry.
Feral Sins by Suzanne Wright. So.
I'm trying to remember all of this stuff and I can't. So,
I know, it's hard.
Like we said, thank you for following us. We're glad that you're still with us and all of this in our venture. We are having a ton of fun.
This is awesome.
This is, it really, really, really
and
is.
And I think we're doing good.
I think so. We're giving some PSAs out there in a little
bit. We're talking about things that aren't as commonly talked about in society. And I think it's fun.
Mm-hmm.
And it's good for us to talk about them, even if it is private, personal discussions about orgasms.
Because
when we have them.
It has to be realistic. So we have to, talk about personal experiences. Otherwise, we're just making shit up.
Yeah, that's not nearly as fun as hearing.
Right, because then it's like, Kalina, oh my God. send us an email if you have any questions or have any suggestions or anything like that for us. We're at sturdybooks@gmail.com. Our Twitter handle is sturdybooks, and our Facebook is the same, and our has three H's, S-H-H-H, Dirty Books. So this is Saylet.
And this is Kalina. And this has been, we're reading Dirty Books.
Yeah, you've been listening to Reading Dirty Books with Kalina and Saylet. Be sure to tune into the next episode. Get some more of your dirty books read to you. And if you're listening on a format that allows you to give a rating, please do that for them.
We'd like to thank Jim Townsend for that sexy and wonderful introduction.